Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much this morning for the privilege to have in our hands the Word of God. Lord, I thank you to be able to speak to your people. Lord, what a responsibility. Truth is so important. And I pray, oh God, that we'd not say anything that's not truthful. And Spirit of God, you take complete control, lead and direct, and you cause your words certainly to impress upon our hearts. And Lord, we do not know understand why you've said there's power in preaching, but you've said it. And so we trust in that and seek it. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. The law of thy mother. The law of thy mother. How many had a mother that laid down the law? How many were afraid to cross your mother? Okay. If you didn't raise your hand, I wouldn't put you in the section of wise. Especially if you were in my family, all right? God has set in the family, of course, a mother and a father. And the Lord looks at us as one. Remember when he said that we are one flesh? But we find that God has given to us our own respective duties in light of the family. And of course, we find that the father has a vocation, and we find it in verse number 8 and verse number 20 of these two chapters, and that is he has a vocation within his family of instruction. He is to instruct and instruct in the Word of God. And we find that throughout the Word of God, and we thank God for fathers who do exactly that. Now, the areas of that teaching are not necessarily illuminated here, but I believe it refers to all facets of life. For our children need to have what? The knowledge of God. They need to understand this old world, its system, its wickedness, how to get along in it. I believe we need to train in character. If we can get a person with good character, I'm not worried about the rest of their life. And so we want to seek good character. Vocational education, of course, and moral and obligations. These are sayings that a father ought to be teaching to his children. And there's various ways to do that. By the way, dads, the biggest way is through your example. And they see that as well as hear you. His primary source for all things important, of course, is the Word of God. And your children ought to know that. They ought to see that and hear that often from them. We also find that there's the law of mother. The mother makes the laws, and they are consistent with the teachings that dad has given, and those laws are to help those young people to order their lives in the direction that he intends as instructed to him from God. And so mama has a very unique role as she comes to the family, not as a second-class citizen, as some people believe. She is the legislative branch of the family's government, if you please. The father makes sure her laws are upheld. That means he's the executive. And he does the executive work. And so we find that God has given to our family daddy who is instructed, daddy who through that instruction has a wife who listens and seeks to work together with him to put down those laws, those things, whereby those children can be raised up for the furtherance of the cause of Christ. Wise children, listen, they are those who recognize that their mother loves them deeply. They seek the very best for them. They understand that mom does that. They see her as one who sacrifices her own desires for them, and knows more than they do and follow her lead. Did you hear that, young folks? They know more than you do. So I'm smarter than my mom. Don't bet on it. And they do know more. And God wants us to understand that, and a wise child does. A foolish child ridicules and mocks her. He doesn't have any regard for her wisdom nor for her experience. And when they do not like her leadership, we find there is something that takes place. They rebel, And they sacrificed then what could have been a long life. Listen, kids, listen to this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. How many were told to memorize that? Yeah, some of you were. Praise God for that. By the way, if you haven't been, you need to. Moms and dads, there's a verse to pump into their minds. But notice the second verse says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. What's he mean by that? Well, we go clear back to the commands, the Ten Commandments in chapter 20, book of Exodus, and we find it says, honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Just remember, she brought you in and she can take you out more ways than one. And she needs to be honored. By the way, it's a, if the rare time you seek to honor her with a gift or something on her on Mother's Day or her birthday, your so-called honor, I would just put it in the realm of despicable. She deserves a whole lot more than one day. She deserves a whole lot more than one gift from time to time. Plus, you do not know that to honor her is to obey her. Every day that you follow her and do as she says is to your benefit and is to her honor. The greatest way to show your support for her wisdom, for experience, is through obedience. Amen? It is there. We find in the book of Ephesians, we're not going to go there, but most of you know it well enough that I can say these few things. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 to 33 is of great importance. We find in that chapter, in those verses, it's talking about the husband and the wife, but it's also talking about Christ and the church. Matter of fact, you can read it one time, you think, well, he's talking about the mother and the father, and the Christ and the church are kind of examples of it. Next time you look at it and you see Christ and his church and think mom and dad are example of it. And he's getting across to us two tremendous truths, and that is, first of all, the husband is likened unto the Son of God. The wife is likened unto the church. And there's something very interesting about that. And that is this. Her parameter is to obey her husband as Christ does, or as the church does with Christ. She follows after his leadership, but then she lays down the laws. In other words, the church is the ground and pillar of the truth. Who gave us the truth? Did not God, did not the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes. And the church has the obligation then of authority in regards to the Word of God, just as the wife, the mother, has that obligation to authority. And her authority rests in the Word of God, which, by the way, in that chapter says we are cleansed with. And as the husband gives the word to his wife and it brings cleansing to her, she and that family has the same kind of duty. And so we see some wonderful principles here. We talk about the law of mother. It was interesting. I saw several hands go up say, I would never go against my mom. And praise God for that. By the way, gentlemen, they ought to know that the first one that's going to be backing her up is you. So I just don't agree with her all the time. We'll get to that. We'll look at that in a little bit. I want to give us, think about three different things specifically. The law of mother, when enforced, brings a child to the point of salvation. Did you hear that? The law of mother, when enforced, brings a child to the point of salvation. Let me explain. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 22, it says, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, did you hear that? Before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith, which should afterward be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster, for we're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. What's the purpose of the law? We understand from that the purpose of the law is to show us our sin that we might cry out to a Savior. And a lawless people generally then are not people who get saved, because they need that schoolmaster in their life. And who is that schoolmaster that lays down the laws according to Proverbs 1? It is mama. Great responsibility. The lenient mother is less likely, in my mind, to see her children saved. And they need somebody that has a law, and that law is obeyed, that they might understand when they've transgressed, there's penalty for their sin. And when we can realize that, now we can realize a greater law, the law of God, and recognize there's a penalty for that sin. And thus, the only way out is to seek the grace of God. Without law, there is no transgression. In other words, people don't see their sinful beings against a righteous God. Now, I could go in almost any segment of society, excuse me, and I could say, do you know that you're a sinner? Everybody say, yeah, I know I'm a sinner. But how many actually recognize that their sin is against an almighty God? And how many recognize that sin separates them for eternity from Him? And one of the reasons is when they have come out of a family where the laws are very lenient, they've not understood the purpose of it. Listen, mamas, your laws are very important. They ought not be excessive. They ought not be something they cannot do, but certainly they ought to be enforced, that the child might come to that point of salvation. Number two, the law of mother is enforced by a godly father. I may step on some toes here. I don't know. By the way, if I'm stepping on toes, move your feet. Somebody said you're rubbing the fur the wrong direction. Turn the cat around. So this is not meant to be nasty, but listen, the law of mother needs to be enforced by a godly father. In other words, parents who argue over discipline in front of their children give mixed signals to their child. I have not always agreed with the way my wife done it, nor has she always agreed. I remember one time, I'm not sure which two boys it was, I think it was Chad and Wayne, and I remember I walked in the house one day and I saw a body come flying across the room, honest to goodness, out of the bedroom, and hit about halfway across, hit the coffee table and slid into the couch. And I don't remember which one it was, but one of them that happened to, knocked something was very pretty off of that coffee table, broke it, which was not my wife's favorite thing to have happen. And I said, you guys want to fight? Come on. And I took them outside. And we're right by my back door. Stuff's there now that didn't used to be there. And I said, get at it. And they looked at me and I said, you either get at it, you're going to have to deal with me. Now, one or the other, and pow, boom, bang. Pretty soon, I don't remember which one. One was on top of the other. And I don't know who was bleeding, if not both of them. I can still see her face. I'm outside watching this thing. Yuck. And she's up in the window, and she looks at me, and she says, don't you think that enough? She didn't do it in front of them. She didn't come out and lash out at me for doing it. She thought it was plain silly, I believe. But hey, fathers need to understand that. Mamas need to understand that. And if you have differences of opinion, don't voice it in front of your kids. Don't do it then. Most likely, if you do it then, you're going to do it in a screaming manner, and it's not going to help a thing, and you're both going to be mad at each other. The kids are going to be upset. They're going to be cowering somewhere in a corner, and it's all a very, very bad scene. And they haven't learned a thing. Fathers need to teach the Word of God for instruction and for cleansing. Moms need to make their laws based on that teaching. And so there's a law of mother that's going to bring a child to the point of salvation. And that law, by the way, needs to be enforced. There must be discipline. Okay? There must be. And lastly, I'd like to just give you what I've called a potpourri of thoughts. A potpourri of thoughts. These are not in any order, but this one I think hits home. Godly mothers, they desire something. I think Proverbs chapter 31, verse 28 and 29 really stated. It says, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. I mean, it's great when your kids or grandkids or whoever they are, they buy you one of these shirts and it says, the greatest mother in all the world. And sometimes you get in a pack of mothers and several of them got the same shirt on, almost. That's what mamas, I think, love and desire. When you study the verses about motherhood and the previous verses of Proverbs chapter 31, you'll find there she's a very, very busy woman. And her life is not about her. It's about providing for a household, doing all sorts of things. And she has her children, she has her husband in her mind and in her work constantly. That's who she is. I believe a godly mother, listen to this one, puts her husband first before their children. Say, huh? Christ is before the church. And listen, when you do that, you teach your children how important daddy is. Some mamas say, just wait till daddy gets home. It means absolutely nothing because they don't know too much about him. But the mama who prompts up and says, hey, you know, your daddy's a really tough guy. And he's, man, he loves you. And he's going to beat the fire out of you when you get home and all those things. You know what I mean? It comes to pass. And I will make this statement. He should be first and the only one in the bedroom. And I'll take it no further. A good mother recognizes the difference between an accident and rebellion. And they act accordingly. You know, it's one thing for a little toddler to spill their milk, and it's another thing for them to just knock it over purposely. Isn't that true? I mean, things are going to happen. I mean, accidents are going to take place that they didn't mean to happen. But then there's the time when it's rebellion. It might be this very same event. And the mama learns how to tell the difference. They understand there's a difference between screaming and sternness. I'm talking about mama, not the children. A screamer is likely, in my mind, self-absorbed and upset because her desires have been put on hold. In other words, it's about her rather than her children. Now, we ought to be stern when they've done things wrong. They ought to know we mean business, but do we constantly have to scream? If you have to scream to get them to do anything, something is wrong. See, I don't agree with that. Well, have your way. If I have to stand in this pulpit and scream at you all the time, then something's wrong. And by the way, most of you wouldn't take it. Here's a thought. Kids do some really crazy things when they're 1 and 2 years of age. And man, they make us look and we smile and we think, wow. I think it was yesterday my wife was on FaceTime with Allison. And she turns the phone so that she could look at little Kinsey and Kinsey could see her. And she says something to the fact, how are you doing today, Kinsey? And she says, I'm busy. She was eating pancakes. She was busy. I mean, we smile at that. But what if that took place when she's 12? What if they're 15 and they're saying the very same thing? Listen, we need to administer discipline even though they're cute. I know some little kids, they get this little whiny smile on their face, and Mama, she feels so sorry for them and lets them go. You know what they've learned? They've learned how to get away with it. They've learned that what you say does not matter. But a good mother realizes that her law must be followed. She's not going to do it in a mean way, but nonetheless it's going to be done. Because they know their law is a reflection of God's law. And its purpose to have a child that goes to heaven with them. The one thing, I don't know if I've ever said this, the one thing I always feared when my kids were little at home was I'd lose one. And at a time when I didn't know if they really knew Christ their Savior. It was in my heart to the way that it hurt to think if one of my kids didn't get saved. I want them in heaven with me. I feel the same way with my grandkids. And by the way, for you and your kids as well. I believe it to be the most important thing. How's it going to happen? Well, one of the things necessary is Mama has some laws. She's made them according to her husband's teachings. She's following the Word of God, and she's making her rules. Now, she don't have a list that's so long that nobody can figure out what's going on. I was going to say, she's not the United States government. If I say that, we'll be kicked off of YouTube. But she has her laws. She makes sure they're met. Mamas, if you can't back up your law with discipline, don't make it. Otherwise, you've taught your children to be a lawbreaker. And their likelihood of getting saved is less. It's a tough job. It's a tough job. I don't believe there's a woman in my presence today that does not want to be a good mother. I don't. I think that's your desire. And though we've talked about some dangers, I also say thank God for those things that you've done. Thank God for that. There's one group of people who has said more to me about getting back to church than any other group. And there are young people that came out of your homes. What's that say? You've done some things right. Keep doing it. Let God use you. Mamas, don't be afraid to have laws. Don't be afraid of being the so-called bad guy all the time. I've heard people say that. Since when is it bad to correct your children that they not go astray? The bad guy is the one who doesn't do it. Let God have his way. I won't have invitation. I don't know how to order it. Be quite frank, but God's spoken to your heart and you need to pray, maybe right in your seat, maybe come down here. Why don't you do so? Secondly, we're going to stand as she plays the piano. And when we stand, I'm going to ask you, if you need to be saved, I don't know how to do this any other way, would you come and meet me right down here? I'll come right down here on the floor. If you're a guy, have a guy take you and show you how to get saved. You're a gal, I'll do that with a. I'll get a gal to do that. Talk to you about salvation. I'm going to take it two steps farther. I don't normally say this, but if you've been saved and you've not been scripturally baptized, after you were saved, you say, preacher, I need to do that. Come and let me know, would you? If you've been saved and you've been baptized, and you believe God wants you to be a part of this church, then why don't you come? I don't know these things unless you do that.